Wait, what's that from?
What's that from?
What is that from? What's that from?
Remember that comedian that used to like hold up cards and it would just have a bunch of text on it and looked like gobbledygook, and he would say, mirror for minute is the word, mirror for minute, and then he'd be like, as in, hey you, mirror for minute, I want to talk to you.
Was he a Remember Southern comedian?
He was a Southerner. He like leaned into it for the bit.
Was it the guy from Boston Common that like all of a sudden he was like in, you know who I'm talking about? He had like
kind Harlan Williams.
Not Harlan Williams. Not Rocket Man himself. No. And Boston Common's maybe not even the show. And I'm getting angry at you, Nate, for getting it wrong. I'm trying to think of who this. It was like a pretty Southern stand-up that was like, oh, it's odd that he's starring as a lead in like two sitcoms.
It's Harlan Williams.
Not Harlan Williams. That's the guy from Half-Baked and Rocket Man. We got to find this stand-up because it's killing me, because he was on Half Hour Comedy Hour all the time.
Harlan Williams.
Oh, yeah. You're right. I was getting it wrong okay. This whole time. I'll say, though, great. Speaking of comedy... and on
is that what we're doing?
I don't know. That's welcome back to Speaking of Comedy. My name is Jeff Garland. I've had a little bit of a head cold, so I was like, let me do some soupy watching. That's where you're just like, leave it on because my brain doesn't work. And what I decided to leave it on,
I thought it was when you watch Talk Soup.
Yes, and if it's hosted by Soupy Sales.
If only.
Yeah, geesh.
He's like 110 years old.
Dying on like, screen.
What's happening? Why people find this funny? It's not funny to me.
Montel Williams. Did I ever tell you I was on a Montel Williams episode?
Whoa. Rewind.
I have it on a VHS that we should digitize.
We got to do a bonus episode when we get our VHS's digitized to just talk about what's on there.
Yeah, that will definitely be a bonus, probably Patreon episode of what the fuck is on this stuff. Yeah, I had a completely...
By the way, let's start, in addition to the Patreon, we're going to start a Kickstarter, and it's going to be to raise funds to transfer our VHS's to...
A worthwhile DVD. Cause in a time where money is fluid. Let's just give it to us. But because, one of my blank VHSs I found just had nothing on it. But when me and the singer and guitarist of Panthers were on a Montel Williams episode, not as guests, we were just in the audience because they needed audience. Oh, and we just went to a screening. But you can see us like overreacting, trying to get on camera. So a lot of like,
is it like
I'm wearing a Metallica Ride the Lightning shirt?
That's what I was gonna say. Was it a sea of like suburban like polo shirts and
three
Taylor
idiots
Loft
who look like they are in a Brooklyn rock band from the Brooklyn Rock Explosion?
That's what I was gonna say. And then three dudes in black jeans with black t-shirts,
basically,
and like big leather cuffs, and greasy hair
next to a bunch of
chucks.
Karens, freaking out about some. I don't even remember what the topic was, but. So I've got that, but also probably have it on a VHS somewhere. I watched 3/4 of the movie Punchline the other day.
Mm.
Oof.
Hilarious.
Wow, Nate. So much worse than I remembered, I remembered it being pretty worse. It was really rough. I mean, there's like, I think, multiple breakdowns Tom Hanks has on stage.
Yeah.
That are embarrassing, and then it has the ultimate problem of like, well, the comedy's not good.
Yeah.
Like no one's good.
There was
and there's stand-ups there, in it. That's why I thought of it. It's like full of Damon Wayans. Taylor Negron is fantastic, but also every stand-up bit is like reeking of the 80s. Like it's like here's an Iranian voice and here is like a lesbian talk show bit, and you're just like, woof, jeez.
The only thing, I haven't seen Punchline since I was a kid and was fooled into thinking it would be
a fun comedy
funny,
movie.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, and by kid, I mean like kid, like I was like eight or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, Tom Hanks, I'll totally watch this, Bosom Buddies.
Yeah.
And The only thing that's fun about it is recently, like in the last, like 2020, maybe, I saw like a Vanity Fair roundtable on YouTube. Now I'm really giving a description. Like if you listen to enough, you know what shows up in my YouTube feed a lot. Somebody breaking down a scene. Anyway, the it was a roundtable of like actors who were in movies that year or something. And it was, I can't remember who else was there, but Hanks was there. Obviously, he has great stories to tell. And Sandler was in the on the roundtable because of Uncut Gems. So it was like, you know, legit actors, right. Not just, you know, whatever. Sandler, like, you know, put foray into like real stuff, which I don't think is
wait, just
is,
to clear up,
unkind.
This was a roundtable discussion on just the movie Punchline.
No. Ugh. It was a roundtable discussion just on like the movies that came out in 2019.
Okay. Wow, that would have been.
But
okay, go on.
The reason I brought it up was Sandler and is talking like there was like this one like very cool moment between Sandler and Hanks because Hanks he's like somebody brings up Punchline and Sandler was like no you were good. I remember I saw you at the clubs that you did. And he said he was like no you I remember when you were doing Punchline because we used to come to the clubs to like. Work material and like get used to being a stand-up,
right?
And he said he was like Hanks was the typical Hanks, like I was terrible, and he was like, no, it's funny. Some of those bits I remember, it was funny. And
because I read that after that he wrote his own material and then like worked with another writer, but
sure.
I was like, okay, that's why it's like that.
But it was yeah. But I think I remember even Hanks was like. That movie, you know.
Yeah, it's really dramatic. It's really like, yeah, it was a rough ride. And this they added a
this is me. I'm gesturing wildly.
Yep.
Because I have such a good segue.
Okay, good. Because
then I know
I was like so just it worked because I was distracted from saying they shove in a romance between him and Sally Field
to be like,
wait, what is Nate doing? And I was like, is there a part where like
he's dancing
Jesus Romano or whatever that stand up is that's in it or Taylor Negron dances and I forgot about it. You're pulling something out of your butt.
You did it. You did it. So I get to do it again.
Great.
Taylor Negron. Speaking of.
Yeah.
Taylor Negron figures prominently into the episode of What's That From? You're about to listen to.
Oh, my God. We are geniuses at segues and we don't even know.
You didn't know. I bet
no
you didn't
idea.
Remember we talked about Taylor Negron.
I am only now remembering because I am kind of remembering our guest, and you'll say our guest name in a second, being, I think at one point he goes, I don't know if I'm really the biggest Taylor Negron fan, actually.
Yes.
And it kind of moves on, and I was like, oh.
Yeah, slow down.
Yeah. Why, a ghost? What?
So, today's episode is brought to you by us. We don't have any sponsors, so help us out.
Go to our
today's episode
Patreon.
Is,
that's our us.
Yeah, that's is brought to you by us. Today's episode features our friend, artist Truck Torrance. You know him as the designer behind 100% Soft. And if you don't know what 100% Soft is, visit his website, his Instagram, and you will surely say to yourself,
Oh, that's
the artist who made all of that. So he is an artist. His most notable success right now is something, a toy and design that he created of a dumpster on fire.
Adorable.
And there's a whole story. We didn't talk about it, but there's a whole story to the dumpster fire thing.
If there's one thing we promise on this podcast, and one thing we especially promise on our Patreon that people are paying money to listen to those episodes exclusively, is that we will not talk about what the people we are talking to do really that
yes.
much.
There is
or in
much...
passing in the segue to talk about something. Sure, we'll bring up Parks and Rec with Ben Schwartz. But it will be to talk about something else.
Right. Or it'll be to talk about it as fans, mutual fans.
Right.
There's zero interviewing that happens on these shows.
If they think they're coming on to promote their wares,
Yes.
Wrong. Publicist, be warned.
I want, or publicist, be encouraged by the fact that your clients who are like, I've done enough interviews.
Exactly.
Then you could be like, well, do I have the podcast for you? I'm sure. You know how many publicists listen to our show? At least one.
At the very least. And speaking to that one publicist, we want to say,
right.
Look, you want to promote your wares in a right-in-your-face
like
sort of way?
Thinking of their clients as wares. Yes. Like as though they're like, knock, knock, knock. Hello there, sir. I noticed that you are looking for entertainment. Well, have I got some products for you.
What is that? Someone's at my door. Who is that? Oh, it's a traveling salesman selling me Adam Pally. What? What is going on here?
Adam Pally featured on Happy Endings and the show about time travel that was canceled and a small part in Iron Man 2. And this one features Abby Elliott from Saturday Night Live in the aughts that you remember. And what? Oh, the show's been canceled. Yes, the show has been canceled, but the DVDs are available. You don't have a DVD player? Well, my friend.
I said wares. I misspoke. I meant the wares of the show they are on. Like when we had Ennis.
You meant the clothes they're wearing.
Yes,
I got
what
it.
They are wearing. When Ennis Esmer was wearing a Blind Spot t-shirt and I didn't even jump on it. Yeah, but man, if you wanna peddle the shows that they're on, go to the other WTF.
Right.
For what's that from? Yeah, we're gonna use that as a jumping off point to talk about some random Growing Pains episode that everyone vaguely remembers.
So you remember Chuck's, Torrance's dumpster fire. You'll know it if you see it. And if you didn't know that it was his, it's because the one that you have on your t-shirt or the one that you bought for your Christmas ornaments were the knockoff of Chuck's design.
And for that, shame. You know, support the artist, not the knockoff.
Well, you didn't know, but now you do.
Yeah, so go to the source and get the real deal. And Chuck is the real deal. I'll say
he
that.
Is the real deal. He is the real deal.
He was one of those guests where you're like, we should have my buddy Chuck on. Yep. You haven't met him, but immediately it's going to work, basically.
It was just like Ennis, right?
Yeah.
Where I was like, trust me, it's going to be like the Venn diagram is going to expand from 2 to 3 circles.
Yes.
And the overlaps are going to be really fun. And then in addition, it's going to be, you're going to hear his like knowledge about prints or something, you know?
Right.
Like,
right.
Speaking of, okay, so a couple of setups that I wanted to note. The beginning of the conversation starts sort of in the middle. So just as a background, Jeff, at the time when we recorded, you were wearing a Neurosis t-shirt.
Of course.
And
not
Truck
today.
Said, I didn't, just hearing you from the podcast, I didn't know that you would be wearing, I didn't picture you wearing a Neurosis t-shirt, which to me means he didn't listen to much of the podcast.
Thank you.
But that's what we were talking about at the beginning. I just wanted to set that up.
I am
very,
Jeff
Mark Maron way.
Please, Truck, I mean, please, what I'm known for.
The other thing that I wanted, two other things I wanted to note was you and I both, I think, certainly I do anyway, will occasionally look stuff up while the show is in process.
Sure.
And Truck was doing it in a very aggressive way. And by aggressive, I mean hitting the keys so hard on his keyboard that you can hear the typing periodically. The point is, all of it is contributing to a kick-ass episode.
Nuts and bolts, baby. Dirty and gritty.
But
back
like
of my
I'm
neck
typing,
getting dirty and gritty with keyboard strokes.
When I'm typing on the show, I try and make it as silent as possible.
Sure. I get it, though. With this new...
He was like on elbows on a fucking piano.
With this newer MacBook Pro, I will say I remember once I was doing a gig with Flying Lotus / Captain Murphy. Ever heard of him? I didn't before I did the gig, but I remember being on a phone call or a Zoom. I think it must have just been a phone call, and it was like mid-sentence. All of a sudden, he goes, "What the fuck is that noise?" And it was me just typing,
clicking.
No, I was licking my paws.
Clicking.
Yes,
I said.
I was clicking as I was writing down what he was telling me as notes. But it does sound like how Chuck sounds on this. So just like ping, dang, dong, ching, 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 like just like banging. So I get it.
There's some clicking. And then the other thing that I wanted to note was that we have a somewhat lengthy chapter of this episode about Angeline.
Oh, right.
The Los Angeles, what do you call it?
Personality?
Personality, like from the 80s and 90s specifically, who, if you don't know who we're talking about, you will when you listen to the episode. But the reason I wanted to bring it up ahead of time was we didn't know at the time we recorded this that a limited series about Angeline either has come out or is about to come out.
Really?
Or was postponed because of COVID. I'm pretty sure it's on Apple TV. And Emmy Rossum plays Angeline.
Really?
Yes. And I looked up, the reason I discovered that is I was like looking up a clip of like Angeline's album on YouTube. I was like trying to find a video, like, you know, a piece to capture the audio. And then like one of the first things that came up was like Emmy Rossum's new, you know, first photos of Emmy Rossum's Angeline. And first of all, Emmy looks awesome. And then I watched the trailer and I was like, this show looks pretty fucking cool.
Wow.
And Emmy Rossum looks like she fucking kills it. So I was kind of excited to watch it. I don't even know if it's out. I don't
sure,
have Apple
sure,
TV.
Sure,
it's
sure.
Like one of the streaming services I don't have. But it nonetheless, I wanted to note that that was a thing that surely we would have talked about had we known.
And she might be vaguely running in the recall election.
Emmy is?
No.
Or Angeline.
Angeline.
We talked about it, that she definitely
oh,
is
we did?
Or was.
Oh, we did? Okay. So, yeah.
But also changed the rules for the election.
Yeah. Saying is, do we have our finger on the pulse of the zeitgeist? Yeah. Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
You're
going to like the way you look.
You're going to like the way you look at our Patreon, listening to this full episode. I'm impressed.
I think we're going to like House Sitting. I think you're going to like this episode.
Yeah. Someone just posted it that I only like vaguely know as an Instagram. Like, and I was just like, it's one of those, like, do they know that they're referencing it? Or is it so ingrained in the zeitgeist? Going back to this word zeitgeist, I'm just going to keep saying it. That you don't even know.
Welcome back to Zeitgeist.
But either way, you're going to like the way you look on our Patreon, listening to the full episode of Truck, talking trash with us. Big time.
Hello, hello there, Sarah. I'm wondering if you're interested in a little bit of Emmy Rossum. This is a up-and-coming star. You've seen her on things like Shameless. Well, now she's in a new series that I don't know where it streams, and maybe it's already out. Don't close the door.
I need more information. Talk to my wife.
I've wanted this to happen independent of the podcast for a long time because you and Jeff and myself all kind of have the same brain. In its like catalog for things that we don't forget. I didn't even realize that there was going to be a, I don't even know what category Neurosis is. Is it like doom metal or something? Stoner metal.
Do I want to be a pain in the ass and be like Neurosis is in its own world?
It's just metal. Just call it post-metal maybe.
Yes. But there are many bands that are, yeah, there was a period where it's like, where you're like, oh, you're just doing the Neurosis.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
That's why this band Isis, we would call them Neurosis before they really found
out. Oh, yeah. Isis I know. And Isis I've listened to.
Yeah, well, Isis even more so sound like Neurosis when we were all in Boston. So
can I ask
Neurosis
you
was a derisive term.
Does the lead singer of Neurosis sound like this? It's, I was wondering if it's, I could get the omelet is a little runny.
Yeah. You've heard them.
I guess
then.
I've
you
heard
them.
Then.
Yeah. This is crazy.
It's like I was listening to Through Silver and Blood right there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. Samples were just weaving through my ears. The thing about the Silver in Blood.
Chuck, would you care to do a bad Woody Allen?
I'm good, dude. I'm straight up good on that.
You would know Neurosis, Nate, because Scott Kelly, one of the two main singers in Neurosis and guitarist, always does a guest vocal on every Mastodon record.
Okay.
So he, it's always the last long song.
Sure.
He'll come in and you'll be like, oh, Scott Kelly is the greatest.
Got it.
So that's what he sounds like. So that Mastodon song where he goes, well, the thing about sure. Mastodon.
That Brooklyn voice chimes in and then plays a clarinet for a little while.
Exactly. Yeah. So love that klezmer sound.
I
mean, really, I don't want to go on. I was about to go on a tear of, is he a good clarinet player or are people lying themselves? In some ways where, like, I don't know banjo enough to completely know, is Steve Martin good at banjo, or do we give him leeway because he's Steve Martin?
I think he's good. Good. He's won Grammys for that. They're just not handing out Grammys.
How much was it to get in?
Three.
Okay, you're going to get your money's worth on this. Hey, this guy's good. I'm a Ramblin' guy.
You know?
Aren't they?
Well, I mean, they are, but you know.
Yes. I wonder some. I mean, that's just one of those, like, when someone is doing the. I mean, we don't give leeway to as much to, like, Russell Crowe's band.
30 odd foot grunts.
Exactly. We are not.
My favorite.
Handing out Grammys to 30 odd foot grunts.
And they're, like, kind of a stoner metal.
No. They're like a bar band.
That's what I would have guessed.
Yeah. And Hillbilly Rock and Roll. Like, not just a bar band, but like a mid-level bar band.
Sailors coming home again from over the ocean.
Like a mid-level bar band that just so happens to have an Oscar-winning, you know, lead singer. You know,
they're like the band when you're like, man, you know what I love about Austin? It's a music city. You can just go into any bar and there'll be a band playing. It's like, well, 3/4 of it is you're walking to a bar and like 30 odd grunts is playing equivalent.
Indeed.
Like combined with like the fifth level Stevie Ray Vaughan ripoff.
Sure. So it's a lot of what's that band where you talked about? The Fabulous Thunderbirds. It's a lot of Fabulous Thunderbirds.
It's got some
kind of
T-Birds vibe to it, I think so.
Wrap it up.
I'll take it.
I could totally see Russell Crowe being like, oh, what a good song. Let's do that. And it's like a 12-minute cover where they just jam for a while in the middle.
And then Bruce Willis shows up.
The Return of Bruno.
Harp.
The Return of Bruno. Have you ever actually listened to that record?
I have that record.
May I take your order?
This is what I like to hear.
Is it what you like to hear? Is that what you're hoping for?
Makes sense. I mean, because I would buy a copy.
I fucking hope this guy has
copy,
returned to Bruno.
I mean, that's all I've been sitting here. The minute you started talking, I was like, yeah, truck, whatever. So about the Return of Bruno, have you returned yet? How is that? In relation to 30-odd grunts, how is the Return of Bruno?
Dude, the Return of Bruno is fucking great.
Is it?
Yes. Yeah, the whole thing's on YouTube, and I would highly recommend listening to it.
Is it really good? It's him playing harmonica and singing about Seagram's wine coolers and stuff?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I think like most of it, I'm pretty sure most of it, except for like maybe one or two songs, are just all covers, you know?
Wow, one of those deals.
But
wait, what type of covers are you doing? T-Birds?
Yeah, some T-Birds. he does Secret Agent Man.
Oh, wow.
he does Under the Boardwalk. What else does he do? Oh, well, and like the single was Respect Yourself. I don't know if you remember that video, but it's him kind of sauntering through a bar. Which is, where else is it going to saunter, you know?
Right. Bad.
Yeah.
I mean, now I'm just trying to think of other actors.
Jeremy Renner.
Because.
The ultimate, return of Bruno is Jeremy Renner.
Oh, does he play that kind of music?
Dude, he's like a roots rocker.
Every time I take a ride, I feel alive with nowhere to go. I'm the king of the road. You're the queen of my throne. Riding high, day and night, satisfied.
Oh,
And like,
I was gonna guess he was like a Bublé, like standards, crooner, weirdly, like just pulling standards out of his butt.
No, dude, no. He put out. I think his EP is called The Medicine.
Oh boy!
Because guess what's? Because guess what? Jeremy Renner is serving up the medicine.
Okay.
For what?
I got the cure for what ails
you. Dude, for fucking everything, yeah. Dude. Yeah. You name it, he's got the medicine for it.
Hey, crack yourself an oat soda. Kick back.
Yeah, but you know about Jeremy Renner's app, right? Like the Jeremy Renner app.
What? Okay, no. Catch us up.
Okay, so Jeremy Renner, so I'm pretty sure he doesn't have it anymore, but at one point, at kind of his arguable height of stardom, which I guess is like maybe 8 years ago-ish.
Senior Trip.
Mm-hmm. It's not, is it Senior Trip?
I thought what it was that movie called?
No, it's National Lampoon Senior Trip with Kevin McDonald and all those guys. And Matt Frewer.
That Jeremy Renner's in that?
That's his first movie, dude.
Principal Moss, we've been looking everywhere for you. What are you talking about? This guy just totally trashed your car. Not my new Buick.
Yeah.
His first movie. And it's him and
Before
Matt.
Before Dahmer?
What? No, not Dahmer. No, Before no, Dahmer? No. This isn't like 1993, I think.
He's like a kid. He's like a teenager.
Him and another guy who went on to do nothing. Because I've straight Wikipedia'd this a lot. Sure. But it's these two stoner guys that that go on a class trip, and Matt Frewer is the, you know, of Max Headroom fame, is the school principal, and then they take this class trip to Washington D.C. I think, and get involved in like a huge international plot, and there's a lot of weed smoking. There's a lot of blowjobs, I think.
Yeah, there's a lot of like,
very I gotta lose my virginity or I'm never gonna get into college.
Yeah. Anyway, but so that was Jeremy Renner's first foray into cinema. But no, I would say like right around like the second or third Avengers movie, like when he was like, and I think when they were trying to make him the new Jason Bourne. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
There's a period where Hollywood, the machine of Hollywood, was like, you know what, dude? Like Tom Cruise. Give me Jeremy Renner. He's the new Mission Impossible guy. And they put him in Mission Impossible with the idea that perhaps he could take the mantle from Tom Cruise.
He'll always be slightly confused and then eventually not confused at all.
And
can understand how to do
it. And, you know, of course, like nobody, certainly not Jeremy Renner, can hold a candle to Tom Cruise. And so that didn't really work out too well. And so then they're like, you know what, dude? Mission Impossible, that's like a Tom Cruise thing. Jason Bourne, though, that's... Right. Like, the new Jason Bourne is Jeremy Renner. And then Jeremy Renner came in and did a Bourne movie, which is not good. And they were like, okay, maybe not. So right around this time, though, when he had peak Hollywood heat, he started an app, which I think was just called, like, the Jeremy Renner fan app. And it was, like, a whole Renner experience where, like, he would interact with his fans and, like do
the RCU, the Renner Cinematic Universe.
Yeah, exactly. But it was like Jeremy Renner memes, Jeremy Renner selfies, like Jeremy Renner, I think there was like a Jeremy Renner day, like Ren's Day or something. And and so it was this thing, and I mean, and it operated in its own little microcosm, you know. And then all these reports came out that there was like crazy Jeremy Renner censorship going on, where any anti-Renner sentiments would be like flagged and taken down. And then there was like allegations of contest rigging and like all this other stuff. And there was like a huge scandal in the Renverse. And
then Parler started.
Right, exactly.
Like, the conservatives and Renheads come here for the truth.
Anyway, so
I have two things off of that. One, I love that you brought up Matt Frewer.
Yeah, fuck yeah, dude.
Because it plays into what the hell this podcast is, where I was listening to another podcast, a pretty popular one, and Max Headroom came up.
Was it This American Life?
Yes. And episode one.
Max Headroom episode.
Max Headroom. We've arrived at the world.
map forever.
But they brought it up, and I was like yelling at my car radio listening to it, because I was just like, they didn't know that, like, the history of Max Headroom, that Matt Furrer was like a legitimate, like, funny actor, that, like, why it start, like, if it was completely CGI, if it was an actor in makeup, like, all of the history, and it was just kind of driving me nuts.
Oh, sure.
And I was like, well, this is partly why I do this podcast.
Right. For the Max Headroom rebuttal.
Yeah, basically, because I was just like, how do you not, it was one of those, like, moments I think me and Nate have a fair amount, and probably you do too, where I was just like, how do you not know this?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I don't,
it actually is a separate, it was like when we were driving and I saw, I meant to text you this, Nate, I think, but like we were driving back from the beach and I had my first like Angeline sighting.
Oh yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh yeah.
A billboard?
No, in the car.
Okay,
she was
cool.
Driving and I was like, oh my God. Like Christy was like, what the fuck is this pink car that keeps mm-hmm. cutting us off?
And you were like, little do you know.
Yeah, and I was like, that's Angeline. And then she's like, who the fuck is Angeline? And I started
explaining.
Oh my
God.
And, then she
and you were like,
up,
have you ever,
like,
seen Moonlighting?
Exactly.
Going back to The Return of Bruno.
Yes.
Like, oh, it all connects. But she was like, how do you even know who Angeline is? And my response was, how do you not know
100%.
Who she is?
How old is she? Like, how old is she?
Same at 42.
Oh, wow.
Same as me. Like,
yeah, see, like, yeah. See, like, I will never, ever forget seeing Angeline's billboard in Moonlighting. And then right. I'll never, ever forget seeing the billboard come to life in Earth Girls Are Easy.
That's to me, is the point of reference. For
yeah, and then I'll never, ever, ever, ever forget the, like, I've probably seen Angeline in person maybe like 100 times since I've lived in LA and I've talked with her. I've I don't want to say hung out with her, but like, I was like around her for a little bit. Like, and
right.
It's like, I'll never forget her. Like, she's amazing. She's incredible.
Dude, I think I don't know if I shared this story on the pod before, but I'll share it again regardless. I was at Aussie Dots, the like costume store in Silver Lake.
Ozfest.
You know, I was at Ozfest.
You pronounced it wrong always. Sorry.
And they, you know, I go there when I'm like, I need a fake mustache and a cowboy hat, you know, and
stat.
And yeah, exactly. It's always like that night. I need it immediately. And I'm really hoping I only have to go to one place because I don't want to also drive to the other costume place and the other one. So I was at Aussie Dots and I was buying a, you know, army jacket and a devil pitchfork and a machete, you know, and they had a box on the counter that said win a trip with Angeline.
Yeah.
A business card in here.
Wow.
And I had a business card and I dropped it in and it went like ka-chunk. And I was like, oh, there are no business cards in there. That hit the bottom of the box, you know? And sure enough, like 5 days later, I got a call from a mysterious like 818 number. And it said, hey, this is so-and-so. I'm Angeline's PR person or manager or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And congrats, you won a ride. That was the...
Yeah.
You win a trip to take a ride with Angeline in her pink Corvette.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's amazing. And we went back and forth trying to coordinate it for a while. And then I ended up needing... I went to New York for like 3 months.
You should have just like, let me do it, dude.
I don't think we were friends yet, dude.
Well, that's on you.
Yeah.
Wow. I know someone who's done it, and she literally drives like 6 blocks and she like blows kisses at you and stuff and then drops you off.
And you take a picture.
Yeah, but I would 100% I would do that.
I totally would have too. I actually was like, I think, wonder if I could talk her into going to buy some jeans with me. Like, I needed to buy a pair of pants.
I don't think she'd be into it.
That's the perfect thing.
I think that's what I loved about my one and only sighting so far, because I've only been in LA a short time. But that I, like, also, it was fun to see her in the most unglamorous version of her driving, where I was, like, literally just sitting there thinking, like, ugh, we picked the wrong time to go back.
The conversation continues.
The conversation continues. It's like we're referencing it. What's that from? Nothing. It's not a tune. It's not
a
song.
It's a Men at Work song.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The conversation continues on our patreon.com. It's something. That's terrible.
No, I will say, I was like, I think Nate's wrong. I'm thinking Men at Work. And then all of a sudden you pulled it out of your butt. And I was like shocked that it was kind of the rhythm of a Men at Work song. It's, I mean, when we say Men at Work song, we mean Down Under, whatever that song's called.
I come from a land down under.
Yes. I'm not going to lie to you people. I do a lot of deep dives on music. I've never done a Men at Work deep dive. I don't know what their other songs are.
They sang Who Can It Be Now?
Yep. Well, let's say any song that wasn't a hit.
It's on a Patreon. And then they sang Meet Me in the Bathroom. That was another hit, right?
Meet Me in the Bathroom was them?
I think
no way. I want to say that was an English beat. I mean, this is my I'm upset I can't immediately pull Who Did Meet Me in the Bathroom right away.
But there's another, maybe it's not called Meet Me in the Bathroom.
I don't think it is.
Well, there's Meet Me in the Ladies Room, which is the best.
Oh, you mean Meet Me in the Ladies Room. Dun, dun, dun.
No, I got a meeting in the ladies room. Gonna be back real soon. It was like
a made up song, too.
Nope, it's a 70s R&B, probably.
Peaches and Herb.
Shoot. Who sang it? Hot 92.3. Climax.
Oh, okay. I should have just guessed Climax. Just Nigel Rogers.
Let me look up...
Murder in the Bathroom.
Got a murder in the baby's room. Baby's room. Let me look up Men at Work and see what their top tracks are. Yeah, there's Down Under, Who Can It Be Now, and then a bunch I never heard of. So,
buddy, all right, let me pull this all together. Can I blow your mind a little?
Tell me.
Because I said, no way, you're a fucking idiot. It isn't me.
Oh, I got it.
It's Murder in the Bathroom. Mirror in the Bathroom. Bye, English beat, thank you. But the fact that I was getting adamant a little bit about Murder in the Bathroom, both morons.
Look, everybody's wrong. We're all right.
Everybody's wrong. We're all right. Nobody judge about me.
Go to a bathroom. It's funny because go to the bathroom is such a like.
I'm going to the bathroom.
I have I'm making up a parody song without actually engaging my brain.
Yeah.
Like going to the bathroom. We were just talking about, the Indigo Girls cover that it's like, I went to the bathroom, I went to the bathroom, I peed in the bathroom, I pooped in the bathroom, and when I was done in the bathroom, I wiped and flushed the toilet. Yeah. Yeah, it's funny that the bathroom songs are, there are several of them, and they're not jokes. They're real songs.
But I do, I'm amazed. I mean, I guess that's why I could pull English beat out. I'm pretty sure I do say, go into the bathroom and say, just let my wife know I'm going to go take a dump or something.
English beat is, save it for later. Isn't that them?
That, I believe, is Ecstasy, the way you're singing that song.
No. I always thought, it's a song that I always thought they were saying sooner or later.
Sooner or later. Saying, apples, ado-da-do-do.
Yeah, I don't know the words. It's just that it's save it for later. Save it for later.
I think, well, I typed it. Oh, no. Oh, my God. You are right. It is save it for later.
It always sounds like sooner or later, right?
Yes, but what killed me is when I typed in Ecstasy sooner or later, it immediately filled in, but then was like, yeah, it's from All of a Sudden. It's too late. And I'm like, wait, what? No. Okay, so that weirds me out because I definitely thought that was an Ecstasy song. my God. We have learned nothing anything. Jesus Christ.
I like to think that listeners out there are going, I made the same mistake. Thank you for filling in that blank for me.
If you have made all of these mistakes, then please
somebody
let us
was
know.
Like, I was at NASA interviewing for a job. And they were like, what kind of music you like? And they're like, I don't know, 80s stuff. And they were like, you know, English beat? And they're like, sure, English beat. They sang...
Sooner or later.
Sooner or later. And they were like, yeah, great, great, great. So we'll give you a call. just enjoy the rest of the tour.
And then those NASA nerds were like, we all know it was Ecstasy. Get out of here. Fucking morons.
But hey,
go to the Patreon. Okay, what were we doing? We were talking.
We were outroing the episode. That was us talking about none of these things. Will all of this be in or none of it? I have no idea. That being
why
said,
why don't we just call our podcast the ADD Podcast? I mean, what it should be is the podcast where we indulge our ADD and yet somehow are able to remember everything we talked about. Well,
is it our ADD or is it just running from our fears? We're just running from our fears by remembering things and then going
remember
deep
that Jackson
into
Brown
them.
Song, running from our fears.
Running from our fears.
And
man, I so just merged scared. Running on empty with Dabble Sonano, Dabble Nocito, Burn Out the Flame. Oh, Burning for You by Blue Oyster Cult. Jesus Christ. A song I know very well, and I could not remember what I'm singing.
I love when that happens, yeah. When you're like, I know that there are words, yeah. But I don't know what the words are, so I'm just going to make the sounds of the words so that I can find the song.
Even that is like, now it's like, time is the essence. And I'm like, oh, those are the words. But there are certainly many.
Time is a B-side.
Oh, my God. I know more of Burning. I think it is time
I don't
is
know
a B-side.
Is that what he said? It's something like that.
If not, we workshopped it into better lyrics. And isn't that what it's all about?
What a cool lyric that would be. Time is a B-side.
Blinded by the lie. Ripped up like a douche. Thank you, Vacant Lot, yeah, Paul Greenberg.
I just googled time is a B-side in quotes, and it did not come up as the lyrics to Burning for You.
What's that from? Yeah, Mr. Show. Scott Adsit.
Sam's on the cover. Yeah. Covered on this podcast season one.
Yeah, of course.
Time is the essence. Time is the season.
Time is the B-side. Man.
Got no time to so.
Fuck you, Blue Oyster Cult. Time is a B-side is fucking better. It doesn't necessarily make sense, but if you lead into it and act like it makes total sense, it's smarter.
It's kind of cool. It's kind of poetic.
Watch me throw it in when I need a lyric for some dumb musical product. Time is a B-side will show up as something. I'll be screaming it. You won't understand what I'm saying anyways. It doesn't matter.
I'm Burning for You is a song that rarely comes on classic rock station, and when it does, I'm like, turn that shit up.
Ew.
You wasn't sure if I was gonna say up.
I thought he was gonna say turn it off, and then he turned it up.
I love that song.
It's great,
and it's a little deeper. That and like Toto, Hold the Line.
Oh Jesus Christ! Yes,
it's just one that I'm like, oh God! It's like I don't hear it enough.
At this point, Africa's off. I know it's a go-to, is how I used to have myself get introduced at UCB, but no more. I mean, Toto's got too many good ones.
Hold the Line and Roseanne are just fucking gold.
Give me anything off the David Lynch Dune soundtrack, baby. Fucking give me Big Battle. Give me He's Riding the Old Man or whatever.
That's a whole other thing.
It's crazy.
I'm just talking.
Well, listening to that soundtrack, which I listened to 2 days ago, and then my son, my 4-year-old son, kept being, what's happening now? What's happening now? And I had to be like, I'm not going to tell you the entire plot to David Lynch's Dune. But then I did try to.
So you were watching Dune with your son?
Nope, just listening to the soundtrack.
Oh.
And he knew it was from a movie, and he wanted to know what scenes it was going to, but he's never seen it. So I did go way too deep, and Chrissy's like, how are you going to explain this plot? Because I was like, well, there's House Harkonnen, and they're in a trade battle with House Atreides. He's trying to understand what folding space means, and I'm like, just listen to Toto.
Don't leave it,
I'm ruining
kid. Him. All I want to do is like talk about classic rock.
We should do is wrap up our outro.
Nah, let's just keep talking.
Okay, I'm mostly looking that we have to record another one, don't we, before 3. This is taking us 40 minutes.
All right. Well, enjoy the sample episode. If you'd like to hear more, go check out our Patreon at patreon.com/whatsthatfrom. We would like to give a special shout out to our Patreons who have so far signed up to be patrons for our show. We appreciate you. We love hearing from you. In fact, we have a little bit of homework to do, Jeff Garlock. One of our patrons suggested some shows that we ought to check out.
Okay.
And I won't talk about them yet because I'd like to actually just go find them. This patron, like us, was like, they might be hard to find. I have DVDs, you know? And it was like, yeah, exactly. We'll find them. We'll find them.
Hey, man, the world's coming around to us. Garth Marenghi's Dark Place is streaming on Amazon Prime now. I mean, it's like, let's do this.
Perfect ending to the outro, because Garth Marenghi in this episode, if you've only listened to the sample on the free feed, you don't get to hear how deep into Marenghi we go. We're full on. We're like a regular party on Wayne and party on Garth Marenghi, that is. Because it's
excuse
time to,
me, baking powder. Yes.
if we might end this outro, but also monkeys might fly out of my butt. Wayne is the name of the guy. He has a hat and an AMC Pacer is the car. Bohemian Rhapsody also figures into the episode.
Are you hearing this, gold people? I mean, this is us just improing for a half hour about a clip that you're going to get a full episode. It's insane, my friends.
Did you drop the V on improving?
Yeah. I need to save some time.
I'm doing that from now on. Improv. I'm doing it from now on.
Got to do it.
Impro. Guys, my impro team is performing tonight.
Makes
Check
it feel
out.
A little bit more professional.
It does. Great. Thanks, everybody.
Thank
we
you.
Look forward to our next episode. We'll be back with a full episode in the free feed. Until then, love ya.
Peace.
Traveling in a fighter combi on a hippie train.
trailhead full of zombies. I met a strange lady, she made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under? Women go and men blunder. Can't you hear the thunder? You better run, you better turn. Questions pointing me in a crooked line, and the less I seek my source for some definitive, closer I am